You've joined the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Professor Walter Martin. Dr. Martin is a best-selling author, noted authority on cults and the occult, and the founder and director of the Christian Research Institute in Southern California. Weekdays, dial direct to Dr. Martin's office. He's standing by to answer your questions about the Christian faith, cults, the occult, and pseudo-Christian groups. You can speak with him weekday afternoons between 3 and 4 o'clock West Coast time. On the East Coast, that's 6 to 7 o'clock. Our phone number anywhere in the U.S. is 1-800-821-4490. Jot the number down for future reference, 1-800-821-4490. In Canada, dial 1-800-541-9437. That's 1-800-541-9437. And now, once again, here's author, Bible teacher, and well-known authority on the cults, Dr. Walter Martin, the Bible Answer Man.
Hi, this is Walter Martin, back again live with Dr. Desmond Ford of Good News Unlimited of Auburn, California. Dr. Ford is a former Seventh-day Adventist minister. He was on the highest committee doctrinally in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination for many, many years, the Biblical Research Committee. He has two earned doctorates, one from Michigan State and one from the University of Manchester in Great Britain. He's written more than 16 books and is a noted scholar and lecturer. He left the Seventh-day Adventist denomination after writing the definitive study of the sanctuary. And I might add, Des, that's really a tremendous book. Covers up so much material you can get bogged down from sheer paralysis of of the tremendous amount of material that you covered in there. I mean, they asked you to write a book on it. They never expected a small encyclopedia.
It was meant to leave no loophole.
Well, there's none there.
No loopholes.
I've been through it, so I know that. But Dr. Ford and I are going to be speaking for the next two nights, Thursday night tonight and Friday night, 25th and 26th of May, at the Trinity Christian Center at 4350 La Sierra Avenue. That's 4350 La Sierra Avenue, Riverside, California, at 7 p.m. We're going to be talking about Seventh-day Adventism and the gospel, the whole truth about Seventh-day Adventism. Is it a non-Christian cult? Is it a confused denomination? Is its leadership misleading the people? What are we going to talk about tonight? All of these particular subjects and many, many more. So come on out and join us. There'll be a question and answer period. You'll have a chance to question perhaps the foremost ex-Seventh-day Adventist scholar in the world, Dr. Desmond Ford. If you want information on this, dial 714-687-3131. 714-687-3131. Welcome again, Des, to the Bible Answer Man program.
Thank you so much, Walter.
We got a number of calls coming through here, and we'll try and get to them as quickly as possible and have you respond to them. But before we do, we mentioned the investigative judgment and the sanctuary doctrine in Seventh-day Adventism, which were extremely misleading and literal interpretations of passages which weren't intended to be that. And then you pointed out how at Glacier View you had made your presentation, which went largely unanswered and certainly unrefuted. And in San Francisco. Also the fact that you have concentrated on the subject of righteousness by faith, which is, of course, one of the Seventh-day Adventist claims. They always claim that they follow the Reformation. They're in the Reformation tradition of the Reformers on righteousness by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, what really is going on there? Do they really believe this?
As you know, as far as Paul is concerned in the Pauline epistles, the righteousness of faith always means the imputed merits of our Lord, which are the sinner's the moment in helpless dependence they lay the hand of faith, the beggar's hand, on the head of the Lamb of God. In other words, justification. The moment a person believes, the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed to them for as long as they believe. It's theirs for keeps. They have the verdict of the last judgment the moment they believe. They have eternal life the moment they believe. John 5:24. But Adventism traditionally has always put in the rubric of righteousness by faith sanctification. Thus they confuse the work done in us, which is never perfect, never complete. No Adventist can claim really to keep the Ten Commandments with any fidelity. We break them in word and thought as well as action. Not willingly if we're converted to Christ, but we break them nonetheless.
Whosoever offendeth in one point of the law
breaks the whole law.
Guilty of all.
Things I would, I do not. The things I would not, that I do. And many things we all offend. James 3:2. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1. Whenever ye pray, say, Our Father, forgive us. So when Adventists have brought in sanctification as part of righteousness by faith, they have muddied the waters terribly and robbed us of assurance. When we believe that we have 100% righteousness by grace alone, that which results from what Christ did for us, we have peace. But if we're looking within at the incomplete work, which won't climax or glorification of the second advent, we can never have peace. None of us are what we should be, could be, or would be. So there's peace only in Jesus. That's why at the cross, the water and the blood were distinct, though not separate. The blood pointing to justification, the water to sanctification. Distinct, but not separate. Whoever God justifies, he sanctifies. But unless we see the distinction that the righteousness of justification is 100%, but not inside us.
For the sake of our audience, when we talk about imputation, imputing the righteousness
the
of Christ,
the accounting, the
we're
attributing,
sort of charging our sins
credit.
To Christ's account,
yes.
And Christ charging the righteousness of God to our account. Is that what we're talking
the
about?
The cross shows it to us. A sinless one was treated as a sinner in order that sinners might be treated as sinless.
But you know what frightens me is that we've got Seventh-day Adventists today. I was at Weimar not long ago getting treatment from them and a Seventh-day Adventist institution, a very fine one.
Excellent.
They did a fantastic job helping me with my diet and getting into better health, and
excellent.
I'm grateful for that.
Matters.
Wonderful people. And yet up there in that school and amongst the people that I came in contact with, they were questioning me about Jesus having a sinful human nature.
That's right. And because he was perfect, though he had a sinful nature according to them, you and I must be. What a discouraging heresy if ever there was one.
But how could somebody with a sinful human nature be the sinless sacrifice?
They don't know the scripture. The scripture says in him was no sin. He knew no sin. Separate from sinners. Holy, harmless, undefiled. That holy thing that shall be born of thee. None of these things can be said of us.
Amen. And thank God they can be said of what Christ did for us.
Yeah, what beautiful truth to know that the moment you believe in Jesus, you're counted 100% perfect, you have the verdict of the last judgment, and you have eternal life right away.
Well, Romans chapter 4 says the whole thing, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not record sin.
The Lord who justifies the ungodly. Isn't that a great title for God?
Amen.
Romans 4:5. God who justifies the ungodly. Like Luke 15:2. This man receiveth sinners. Luke 18. He's gone to be guest with him that is a sinner. For if thou shouldst mark iniquities, Lord, who would stand?
Nobody.
Nobody.
We have a caller, William in Moreno Valley, California on KKLA. Hi, William. How are you?
Real good. I just like to say, thank the Lord, for your ministry because I've really been struggling lately with Seventh-day Adventists, and this is a total message from God. It has to be.
Do you have any question for Dr. Ford? He's the man to ask.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to be at the thing tonight also.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise his name. Dr. Ford,
yes.
I'd like to know, basically what is the main, the psychology behind the Seventh-day Adventists believing what they, because I'm like in a relationship with somebody and I'm trying to tell them this stuff because I've read Dr. Martin's book.
Let me tell you in a nutshell, William, part of the problem. Adventists grew out of a movement that set a date for our Lord's return, which is quite contrary to Matthew 24 and verse 36 and Acts 1 and verse 7, which forbid date setting. Clear New Testament texts that forbid it. Adventists grew out of a movement that flouted, contravened, violated that express scriptural command. And as a result, when it didn't happen, when of course it fell flat, Adventists had to invent an excuse as to why it fell flat. It took them approximately 15 years to marshal the investigative judgment doctrine. So by about 1859, Adventists began to say, well, Christ did make a change in 1844, but he went from one apartment to another instead of coming to earth. A little bit like the Jehovah's Witnesses with their juggling of dates in the late 1870s and 1914. Instead of coming to earth, he came spiritually. Adventists did that in connection with 1844. So the whole sanctuary teaching was a face-saving device, as Dr. Donald Barnhouse said years ago. And Adventist scholars have known it for decades. But don't misunderstand me. These same scholars love the Lord, love his book, love the gospel, love his people. Adventists as a whole are an earnest group of Christians who want to please God. But tragically, they do not know the biblical truth on some areas that are so vital to their assurance.
Sanctification confused with justification.
Yes.
The sanctuary, literally one apartment, two apartments, date setting. These are part of the thing, just part of the thing.
And the misuse of Ellen White.
And the misuse of Ellen White, which we're going to get to in just
yes.
a moment. And Ellen White was, of course, the great prophetess of the denomination and took a very strong stand. She was a fine Christian woman in
yes,
terms
indeed.
Of her personal life. And she wrote a number of things which are very helpful. We're going to talk about some of the things she wrote that weren't too helpful. know, and some of the views which she held. But the important thing is that you're not dealing with a non-Christian cultist or with a false prophet. You're dealing with a Christian woman, which is quite different from Russell and Rutherford and Joseph Smith and so forth. But you should be aware of the differences, because you can get sucked into a very subtle legalism, which brings you into perfectionism, and that will be self-destructive, because you're not going to attain perfection.
Okay, at the meeting tonight, well, let me see, I know I'll have a chance to ask more questions there, but it's hard for me, I don't know, I try to get scriptures and to set up, because I talked to a lady that was a Bible teacher today, and it's just tying in, but I mean, they were saying something like when Christ died on the cross, I used Romans chapter, like, Christ is the end of the law.
Yeah.
And I said, well, is that the whole law, or is that the ceremonial law or the moral law? And they said, well, it's the whole law. Okay. And then I said, well, what about the Ten Commandments? He goes, well, he fulfilled them by living them through.
Well,
They're still, you know, at work now.
But remember something. The word is translated end of the law in the book of Romans is telos, and it means Christ is the purpose of the law. In other words, the law was our school teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith, according to the book of Galatians. He is the purpose of it all, to point to us the perfection of the character of God. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy and righteous and just and good. The problem with the law is it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Because you're not. That's
so
the
it's a difference between standard and method, William. If you use the law as a method, it's like trying to climb up Mount Sinai and one slip and you're done for.
Uh-huh.
See, so there's a difference between the law as a standard of holiness, purity, honesty, goodness, and a method. And the New Testament's dead against it as a method. Paul said, I died to the law that I might live unto God. Any Seventh-day Adventist that's trusting in his law keeping to get him into the kingdom is not yet alive to God, according to Galatians 2:19. We die to law as a method, but we never die to it as a standard, because Jesus Christ lived it perfectly, and that's the great ideal.
Okay?
Okay, well, I thank you very much.
We'll see you tonight, brother.
Dr. Martin, and I'll be there tonight.
God bless you.
Okay, bless you.
For those of you who are listening to the Bible Answer Man program right now, tonight Dr. Desmond Ford and I will be meeting at Trinity Christian Center, 4350 La Sierra Avenue in Riverside, California, at 7 o'clock. We're going to be talking about Seventh-day Adventism and the gospel. If you have questions about Seventh-day Adventism, friends or relatives who are involved in it, if you have challenges to your faith from some areas of Adventism, then tonight Dr. Ford and I are going to be talking about these things in the historical perspective, also of the book Questions on Doctrine, and what the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference courageously did back in the 1950s, and what the current Seventh-day Adventist denominational leadership is not willing to affirm. Trinity Christian Center, 4350 La Sierra Avenue, Riverside, California, tonight at 7 o'clock for Seventh-day Adventism and the Gospel. And tomorrow night we'll be following up with Part 2 at 7 o'clock. And our special guest today is Dr. Desmond Ford, founder and president of Good News Unlimited in Auburn, California. I do want to remind our listening audience, too, that programs like this come to you because of your prayers and your financial support. It's only through your support of Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man Ministry that we can do programs like this, and we can bring people like Dr. Ford together to meet the challenges that face the Christian church today. So if you want to really help Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man Ministry, pray about becoming a regular supporter of the Bible Answer Man's missionary outreach ministry. To every man, an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. That's what the Bible Answer Man program is all about. We've been on the air 25 years this year. It's almost incredible to think about that. 25 years doing this type of ministry, and we thank God for your support and your prayers. Write me this week, if you can, with a generous contribution. The Bible Answer Man, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. We're grateful for whatever you're able to do. Don is calling in Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you have a question, WPJL, for Dr. Ford?
Well, actually, we're listening on satellite, but we enjoy your programming. Yes, I do. I'm just wondering, are there similarities, purposeful similarities, in the Advent Christian Church and Seventh-day Adventists? For example, their position on soul sleep, or that the wicked are annihilated, that type thing.
Yes, indeed, there are. Remember, they both go back to the Miller movement of the 1840s. The Advent Christian Church, very small group, but very earnest people, still clinging tenaciously to the hope of our Lord's soon return, which is biblical and appropriate, And you need to remember that Adventists were among the foremost expositors on the premillennial coming, which is now widely accepted by pretty well all denominations. Yes, there are a lot of similarities. And when you talk about soul sleep and conditional immortality, never forget that men like Luther and Tyndale, in their own day, men like John Stott and Pinnock, and many, many other fine Christians, also believe in immortality only through Christ. Now, in the ultimate, in some ways, there's not much difference, because the Adventist that believes in the sleep of the dead believes the next conscious thought after death is the presence of Christ. And that's exactly what the others believe anyway. But the distinction they would suggest is this, and I think it is biblical myself, that as we have righteousness only in Christ, so we have life only in Christ. So those two denominations do teach that, but don't make it something to divide Christians. It's not a thing that should divide believers.
Okay?
All right.
Does that answer your question?
One more quick question, if I can.
Okay.
I was listening this morning to a Pastor Brooks in California on a telecast through the InTouch Network.
Uh-huh.
And I was interested in the fact that they talk about the Reformers and cling to the doctrine of the Reformers, and yet there was in his presentation a reference to a passage in Hebrews 3 about holding fast the profession of our faith, I believe it was, or some of that effect.
Hebrews 4, yeah.
Yes, and so is there a position that essentially a believer can fall from grace, or is that...
That might have been his position. Of course, the church has always had differences of opinion on this. The Calvinist and Augustinian tradition were pretty strong on the idea of the predestination of God and the sovereignty of God guaranteeing the eternal salvation or security of the believer. The Arminian tradition, the Roman Catholic tradition, Orthodox tradition, maintains that it is possible to finally slip away and fall from grace if one apostatizes finally. So you have two different positions. I happen to take the first position. I think Dr. Ford takes the second position. And good scholars have debated the issue for many hundreds of years. I doubt we're going to settle it on the Bible Answer Man.
But we're all agreed that looking to Jesus, you cannot be lost. So long as you're looking to Jesus, you cannot be lost. We all agree on that.
So is there an official Adventist position on that?
Oh, yes. Adventists believe that he that endures the end, the same shall be saved. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered and is burnt. And that Hebrews 10 is full of warnings that if the just man shall live by faith, but if he draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But again, don't use it to divide believers. It's not a central, pivotal issue.
Okay?
All right. I know you have other calls. Thanks a lot.
God bless you, brother. Dave is calling Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. You have a question for Dr. Ford.
Yes, I do. Mr. Ford, I used to be in the Worldwide Church of God.
Yes,
and,
Dave.
Herbert Armstrong one time wrote an article about the history of the true church, and in it he dates in the mid-1800s that the Seventh-day Adventist movement broke off from the church that he later joined. I would like to comment on that, and also the fact why the Seventh-day Adventist church don't keep the holy days.
Right. The situation was this. The Church of God Seventh-day broke away from the Seventh-day Adventist church in the 1860s over the very issues that I and many others have complained about, the investigative judgment and using Ellen White as though she were canonical. And Armstrong was a split-off from that split-off. Now, when you ask about the holy days, if you read Hebrews 9 very closely in the first 12 verses, in talking about the things of the Old Covenant, it says it consists of divers washings and purifications and so on, which were imposed until the times of Reformation. Now, the holy days to which you refer were the days that were associated with the types and symbols of washings and sacrifices, and according to Hebrews 9, they were only imposed until the time of Reformation. In other words, the first coming of Christ. The New Testament does not endorse anywhere a stress on these holy days to be kept by Christians or as essential to salvation. Read Romans 14 in particular.
Okay?
Okay, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. God bless. Richard in Thermalito, California. How are you?
How do we know when we're saved, when we have salvation?
Well, let me say this to start with. 1 John. If you read 1 John, it'll take you about 15 minutes. About 24 times it uses the word K-N-O-W in the original Greek, and the English carries it through in most cases. By this we know we've passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. By this we know that we belong to God, it says in 1 John 5, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not talking about perfectionism, but a willingness to serve God. No one ever loves God until they believe that God loves them. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. If God has sown in your heart unselfish love for him and your brethren, it's because you've been born again. I recommend to you, you read 1 John very, very closely, where it gives you half a dozen earmarks of those that have been born again.
I agree with you. I'm a historical believing Seventh-day Adventist, and you're misrepresenting what I believe.
Tell me where.
Well, I believe that I'm saved by my faith in Jesus Christ.
You're dead right, and there are thousands of Adventists that believe the same.
Yes,
and then there are many thousands of others that don't, because they have no assurance, because of the investigative judgment teaching. But there are thousands that have. You're right.
I believe in the investigative judgment, and I have assurance of salvation, and you deny the power of Jesus Christ to keep me.
No, I don't deny it at all. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding glory and joy. No question on that.
He can keep me from falling. You're misrepresenting historical Adventism.
Now tell me where we've misrepresented it. Where?
The investigative judgment
is
for the universe.
Does the Bible say that? Give me one text in the New Testament that says that. Any text will do. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, John.
Well, it's clearly, the judgment is clearly lined out in Daniel. You know that it's there.
Just a moment. The Daniel judgment is talking about a judgment on the little horn. They shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Do you think the little horn is the saint, or is the little horn Antichrist?
Well, we're getting over the head of the...
Let me interfere here, okay? Dr. Ford has made a valuable point. You were the one that introduced the term Daniel and the judgment. Dr. Ford has pointed out that you introduced something that is not admissible as evidence. Now, are you willing to admit that?
No.
Well,
then
just give us a plain text.
It's pointless to discuss it.
Give us a New Testament text, because you're a New Testament Christian. So just give us a New Testament text that plainly teaches an investigative judgment beginning in 1844. Give us the best you've got.
Well, I think in the book of Revelation, where the seals are open, I think the fifth seal is I think that the seals...
But there's nothing there about a judgment. It just says,
yes.
How long, O God, holy and true, before you judge those that are destroying us? It's talking about martyrs being put to death, and the cry goes up, Lord, when are you going to judge these people who are oppressing us? Now, the investigative judgment isn't that, as you know. The investigative judgment is supposed to be a judgment on the saints. You've quoted a text which is a judgment on the wicked. So where is your text now for the judgment on the saints before the second coming?
Verse 1 of chapter 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I could continue reading that chapter, but that book is the book that contains our deeds. It's the book that we're going to...
No, my dear friend, there's nothing in the chapter that says that whatever. You read it very closely. If you want to understand what that chapter's talking about, go back to Jeremiah. I think it's chapter 32, that when a property was sold, a book was sealed, and that was the title deeds of the lost property. There is nothing in the chapter you quote that talks about the sin of the saints. You have a look and call us back if you can find it.
I don't want to enter into debate.
Well, we have to move on, because I think Dr. Ford has covered this very thoroughly, and we've got so many people out there with questions. Thanks so much, Richard, for calling. Steve in Placerville, California, KFIA, you're on the air.
Hi, doctors.
Hi, Steve.
I wanted to ask you to debate Matthew 5, 17 through 20. I think you both have a different position on it.
I'd be surprised if we did. My understanding of Matthew 5, 17 to 20 is the Lord is saying, don't think that I've come to throw out the Old Testament revelation that God gave. I have come to establish it and to fulfill it. The law and the prophets, of course, does not mean the Ten Commandments and the prophets. Law, nomos here, is the same as Torah in the Old Testament, and it's a term that often means the Pentateuch, and that's what it means here, the law and the prophets. Not Exodus 20 and the prophets. You understand what I'm saying?
Now, I would agree with this, because the context indicates it.
Yes, so I think we would probably agree on it, not disagree.
Saturday, correct?
Pardon?
Doesn't Dr. Martin observe the Sabbath on Sunday and Dr. Ford on Saturday?
Yeah, but the Sabbath isn't mentioned in this passage, is it?
No, I just want, well, actually, I thought it was referring that that Christ had not dispensed of any of the commandments.
The whole issue is, what is the moral law of God today? And Dr. Martin, he'll speak for himself in just a moment, believes that the moral law of God is still binding on Christians as a standard, though not a method. That's my position too. It is true we have a different understanding on some things about the fourth commandment, but neither of us want to make it something to be a barrier that will separate believers in Christ.
I gotta go. Our time is up. We'll be out tonight, Dr. Ford and myself, at Trinity Christian Center, 4350 La Sierra Avenue in Riverside, California, to discuss Seventh-day Adventism and the gospel. Come and join us tonight and tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Trinity Christian Center, Riverside, California. If you have any questions, dial 714-687-3131. Until tomorrow at the same time, when Dr. Ford will be back with us again, this is Walter Martin wishing for you and yours the Lord's best of everything always, as you open your heart to his Son. Goodbye.
Via satellite from Southern California, you've been listening to the Bible Answer Man, Dr. Walter Martin. Professor Martin is founder and president of the Christian Research Institute. If you've heard something today that's created a question in your mind about the scriptures, cults, or occult groups, don't hesitate to send your inquiries to CRI's Research Department. Also, we offer a wide variety of pamphlets, tracts, books, booklets, and a large number of messages, lectures, and interviews on tape cassette. Ask for the CRI resource list when you write. Address the Christian Research Institute, or CRI, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Include the call letters of this station in your letter. And two, please indicate today's date and the time the Bible Answer Man broadcast is heard on your station. Plan to participate in these stimulating sessions with the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Martin is available in the studio to answer your questions weekday afternoons from 3 to 4 o'clock West Coast time, 6 to 7 p.m. on the East Coast. Our address once again is the Christian Research Institute, or CRI, Post Office Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Dr. Walter Martin is a presentation of the Christian Research Institute of Southern California. We hope the broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man give you a greater vision for those who are trapped in the cults. You want to reach them for Christ, but where do you begin? Dr. Martin has provided in CRI's extensive cassette library several tapes containing pertinent information on how to witness to those involved in cults. One such resource tool is a message by Dr. Martin on the do's and don'ts of witnessing to the cults. It's a practical how-to approach in sharing your faith. This single cassette message is available for $5.95. Then we suggest a 6-tape album which helps prepare you to answer the most common objections to the gospel of Christ. To Every Man an Answer is the title of this series of tapes. What better way to evangelize those in the cults than to be equipped with a solid foundation of what a Christian believes and why? To Every Man an Answer, this 6-tape cassette album can be ordered for a minimum gift of $33.95. Send your order to CRI, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.